Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it, you know, that we're working with the Holy Spirit. That he's taken this word and making it alive in each and every heart and those online. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're showing us things that are going to help us to navigate this life victoriously, to fulfill all that you've called us to do. Leave nothing undone. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to just start, if I can, just back in James 1. We'll get into 3 here. And if you're wondering, you know, a big portion, I'd say the major theme in chapter 3 is the power of our words. The power of our words. And, you know, I know that you know, since I've been a Christian, since I've been in these realms, I've seen people do weird things. You know? If somebody's doing something weird, you know, just don't throw, there's this old saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I know people probably don't know what that means anymore. I don't know if I even know. What it means basically is the water gets dirty and you got to throw the water out if you have like a little portable tub. It'd be hard to do if it was a fixed tub, but you know, if you're going to throw it out, don't throw the baby with it. And what it means is there could be some precious truth. Even though somebody over the years, hey, maybe somebody went to some extreme that you don't agree with, doesn't mean there isn't a truth there that you need. Okay? So, you know, have your antennas up. You know, I've learned things. Sometimes, every now and then, I get to another church, not very often, or I go to a wedding or a funeral that somebody else is doing. And sometimes I sit there and there's things I don't agree with. But I've learned not to shut down if I don't agree with everything. Okay, are you following me here? Because God can work through every person and bring you what you need if you'll stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was in Bible school, I'll go ahead down this vein anyway. It's not even the scripture, but I when I was in Bible school, I went to Rhema. And Kenneth Hagin was, at that time, he was the main teacher. I was in the primitive days of Rhema. You know, we didn't have sidewalks. We walked on planks because they hadn't poured the cement yet. So I'll say that. And they even hadn't built a lot of the buildings that are there now. But the word was good. And I remember we had a guest speaker in one time. We had a lot of guest speakers because Brother Hagin's heart was that he wanted to expose us to a lot of good preachers while we were there. We'd have, you know, Charles Capps would come in, or John Osteen would come in, or just people that, you know, in the day were moving with what God was doing. And we had a very well-known speaker come in. I'll refrain from mentioning his name. If I said it, 10 people in here might know who they are. I'm sure Margaret would know. But in any case, I was sitting in the service, and I heard him say something that night that I knew didn't line up with what Brother Hagin believed. And I'd read every one of Brother Hagin's books at that point in time. A couple of them I almost memorized, okay? And I knew what the guy said was just a little bit different than what Brother Hagin would say. And so, you know, I'm just a young guy. I'm only, you know, whatever, about a year old in the Lord. But I just went, hey, what's he talking about? And you know what? I watched Brother Hagin because he was sitting there on the platform. And I thought, is he going to say anything? Is he going to do anything? And he just sat there like he always did. And then it was probably maybe a month and a half later in class. You know, in class it was pretty intimate. You know, there was maybe only 100 of us there and in the class. And I remember him saying, you know, some of you might remember back a month or so ago when Brother so-and-so was here. He said, I'm sitting there listening to him preach, and he said something that I didn't really agree with. I'm telling you what, I'm in the second row of the class, and I'm going, yeah, yeah, come on, tell us more, you know. And he said this, and this is words of wisdom, okay? He said, when I heard that course, it went different in my brain with from what I think. But he said, I didn't shut him down. I didn't shut the Holy Spirit down. And he said it was just a few minutes later that this particular minister said something that answered a question that he'd had for decades. I'll tell you, that things like that stuck with me. I thought, wow, as I go through life, I don't want to be the critic of every preacher. And I want to, you know, there's enough of that in the body of Christ, sadly, okay? And I mean, if something is absolutely false doctrine, that needs to be said, okay? But sometimes it doesn't. Some things don't need to be, hey, did you hear? The other thing that stood out to me with that statement was that this man who I, you know, would call the father, my father in the faith, had things that he had questions that went on for decades. You know that sometimes, you know, you might not understand everything, but don't quit. Don't sit down. Don't give up. Hang in. You don't have to have all the answers. Sometimes people might ask you a question. You know that it's okay to say, I don't know. Do you know that? You know what? I don't know everything. You know? People have weird thoughts that but I'm telling you right now, I don't know everything. But I'll tell you what, we can trust God to bring us the answers we need in the time we need them. Okay? So in James 1, verse 19 through 21, or through 20, it says this. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be, let's read this together, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Okay, we can stop with that. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And this was just rolling around in me, and I know we taught some of this back in James 1, and that was okay. But here in James 3, they kind of connect. Chapter 1 and chapter 3, for sure, they have some connection. And I want to just say this. If you want to be a person that has faith in your words, that your words have power, this would be wisdom to grab onto. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. All right, just throwing it out there. Throwing it out there. You know, listening is almost like an art that we need, you know, and I'm working on it. Believe me, I have not arrived at, you know, just like generosity, Margaret said, she's, you know, I feel like she's a very generous person, but she says, I know me with listening. It's a place that I haven't totally arrived, but I'm working on it. Listening. You know, James says this, be swift to hear. It'd be good when we talk to people if we truly listened. You out there? Truly listening means that when they're talking, we're not thinking about the next thing we're going to say. Or the next thing they should be saying, finishing their sentence. But listen, and listen to people, and I'm going to go another step, is listen to the Holy Spirit like that. Listen to Him. You know, prayer time should be more than you talking. Okay? Prayer time should be interactive. Prayer time should be you talking to God, but then listening to Him. Well, I don't know if He's saying anything. Give Him space. Sometimes I pray and then I listen. Maybe I didn't hear anything, but just giving that opportunity as I go through my day, it comes to me. Okay? There's, you know, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. I think I said that before today. It's worth saying again. So, you want your words to carry weight? Be economical with them. I'm not, and you know, there's a balance too. I'm not saying not to ever say anything, but what I am saying is listen first, then speak, and get real slow about getting mad at people. And the verse 20 I didn't read, it says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, which is good. Your words are so powerful. There's so much in what you say. You know, They're like containers. Words are like containers. Sometimes words contain fear. That's a different kind of power than what I want to talk about this morning. But sometimes they do. Sometimes they words carry doubt and unbelief. But what I want to have is my words carry faith. I want is my words to carry power from God. You know, I might jump ahead a little bit because I'm thinking about this in the next message, but be so full of the Word that your words reflect God's words, okay? Be so full. You know, you can get so full of God's Word that it's easier to have faith than it is to doubt. Do you know that? You can have so much Word in you that your expectations and your connection with God, just there's a steady stream. There's an open door. There's an open heaven where it's just natural to step in to the things you're believing for. You can get overloaded with the Word. You know, I know this was a work of the Holy Ghost, but Peter was preaching in the house of Cornelius, and the people got so full of the Word, they began to speak in tongues before he got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues before he could even finish his message. And I believe that you can get into this place, and I've been there, where there's just such an atmosphere of faith because you're so full that it's a natural thing. All right? I'm just throwing it out there for somebody. Proverbs 18:21 says this. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. A couple versions one version I want to read was the Good News Bible. What a great name. The Good News Bible. I'm glad that seems like the Bible I read all the time. It's the Good News Bible. All right. What you say, it says, what you say can preserve your life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. Wow. Say amen or say oh me. Whatever. Proverbs 21:23 says this, talking about words. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue will keep his soul from trouble. See, words can bring trouble to your soul, okay? So we just need to be, I'll say it this way, we need to be aware of the words that are coming out of our mouth. Are these words really what's in our heart? You know, are these words really things that God has said to us? You know, what God says to you is so important. I've got a scripture I wanted to read. We were in a Bible study a few weeks ago, and I just read this verse, and I don't know if it ever struck me quite like it did a couple weeks ago when I was reading it, but in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Brian knows, says, Timothy is a book where Paul is given instruction to a young minister. Okay, and it was Timothy, and he says this here towards the end of first chapter here. He says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." So listen to this. You know, I remember in the group that I was in, I said, "Wow, isn't that amazing?" I said, you know, have you had any prophecies spoken over your life? And someone in the group said, well, you know, I'm kind of a new Christian. I haven't had a lot of words. And I started thinking about it. And, you know, the word prophecy, you know, is an inspired word from God. And a lot of times, in fact, most times, I probably think of it as a word coming through another person. When you're as old as I am and have been around the things of God as long as I have, I've had a lot of people prophesy over my life. And a lot of them have been really good. You know, the good ones are the ones that encourage you. The good ones are the ones that bear witness with your heart. You know, sometimes if someone prophesies someone over you that just goes on the inside, you know, you probably don't really hear that noise. But inside it almost feels like that. That would be one I'd just put on the shelf and say, I don't know if I get that, God. And if it's something for you, God will bring it back. But I was thinking about it. And let me read it again. This charge I commit to you, son, Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, wow, you know, life is, we're in a war. You know, we're not maybe physically in a war, thank God, at this moment, but there's a spiritual war that goes on. You know, we walk through this world, and there's opposition that confronts us, you know, sometimes daily, okay? And we always wage our war from the position that Jesus has won the battle, so I'm fighting from the place of victory. Are you following me? But Paul says to Timothy, he says, these prophecies, these words from God that have come to you, they'll help you to wage a good warfare. So I was thinking about it, and I thought, wow, that's interesting, you know. Maybe someone hasn't spoken a prophetic word over your life before. But you know what? The very day I got born again, God began to speak to me. Can I tell you that? Most of you have heard me tell testimony, but I mean, God spoke things to me the very day I was, you know, it was actually at night that I got born again. And God began to show me things. And it wasn't like I heard an audible voice. It wasn't like at the time I didn't even really know it was God. But thoughts came to me that weren't thoughts that I normally thought. Okay? I mean, you got to know back then, you know, I was this hippie dude, you know, that you know, was doing drugs every day, and all of a sudden I get born again, and the very night I get born again, I'm sitting in the back of a car, they're all smoking pot, and I wasn't at that time. That was a miracle in itself, let me tell you. It had never happened at that point. And I'm sitting there, and I all of a sudden, out of the blue, I just spoke up, and I said, man, something wild happened to me tonight. And they're thinking I'm going to tell them some wild something, and I said, yeah, I don't even know what to tell you, but I said, I know this, God loves me, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die, and, you know, and that's when they looked for the next corner to drop me off, because that was killing their buzz, and, you know, I get it, I would have done the same thing if I was them. But I thought about, I was thinking about this verse, and I was thinking about waging a warfare and with the prophecies that have been given me. And, you know, again, I've had a lot of prophecies in my life, but this was some of the most impactful words that I'd ever had. And it shaped my life from day one. I am I'm the obnoxious guy that walks around knowing that God loves me. That just doesn't waver. You know, I'm probably annoying to people because I just have this absolute confidence inside that God loves me, and that never changes. You know, if I'm having a good day or if I'm having a bad day, and I didn't even realize it till I read this verse, but that's how I wage war. That's how I, how do you wage war? What has God spoken to you? What has He made real to you? You know, and sometimes you'll hear somebody preaching about what God says to you. And I always say this. I say, you know, just don't go following other people. Do it. Sometimes God will speak the same thing to you. What's important is that you're getting direction from God. And you know, sometimes you'll read a book, you know, and you think, wow, that's really good. You know, can I go preach it? Well, don't go preach someone else's book. Can I tell you what you do, though? Let that become your revelation. Let God speak to you about what that person said, okay? Let Him take what they had and let Him make it real inside you. You've got to live life and you've got to speak from what's real on the inside of you, okay? All right, so let's go to James 3. James 3, and I'm going to skip right to verse 2 because we spent some time on verse 1 the last time. But it says this, for we stumble in many things, and if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Isn't that amazing? That if we can get a hold of our tongues, we can bring control or direction to our whole body. Does your body ever want to goof off? I'm telling you, mine does. Mine does. Mine can do dumb things if I let it. If you want to know what your body's saying, or if you don't know what your body's saying, try fasting. I believe you'll be more sensitive to God, but I believe in the whole process, you're going to hear your body scream at you, okay? But just a side note. Anyway, James says this, if we can learn to control our tongue, we can bridle, we can bring our whole body into subjection. You know, some people's bodies are out of control, doing things that the man on the inside of you wouldn't want you to be doing, okay? So, in verse 3, it says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body by those bits, okay? Isn't that interesting how James brings this analogy as he's talking about the power of the tongue? He says that a horse, now again, you know, Marcia, Peter, you guys are horse experts. I'm standing from a different place. I'm the one who has great respect for horses, okay? To me, horses are huge beings. And, you know, I've ridden horses over the years. I could tell you a few experiences I've had. And I like it. Honestly, I do like them. But I have great respect for them because I haven't always known how to control a horse. You know, sometimes horses, I remember my brother, he had Arabian horses that he'd take me out, we'd ride them. You know, he had them stored at a ranch that he boarded them and we'd go riding sometimes. And there was one horse I'd get on and man, that guy knew how to run back to the barn without me even telling him, you know? And the thing that you had to know is when you got into the barn, you better duck. My brother had a roommate that didn't duck, knocked him cold as he went through the door. Robert, if you're listening, anyway. So horses, you know, horses are living creatures. And James said that by the power of a bridle, you can control a horse, okay? Again, I'm not the horse master. But I'm telling you what James said. He said you can put a bridle on a horse and you could control that horse's body. This living creature could be controlled by applying pressure to his mouth, specifically applying pressure to his tongue. Can you hear that this morning? So, horses have feelings. Horses have emotions. Sound like anybody you know? All right, in this analogy, James is comparing your body and my body to that of a horse, okay? He's not telling you how you look or anything, but he's saying just like a horse has feelings, just like a horse has emotions, just like a horse, you know, might want to do its own thing, so is our body. And James is saying that in the same analogy, the bit that he's talking about is like our tongue, the rider is our spirit, and the reins are a renewed mind. Can you follow that analogy? James said, if we could learn to control our tongue the way a rider would control a horse through the bridle, we could make our bodies get in line. Some people are fighting with addictions. Some people are fighting with just wrong draws, wrong pulls in life, you know? You know, maybe we're watching TV too. I'm not against TV. I have a TV in my house, okay? I watch TV. We'll probably watch it even this afternoon. But things can take control of you. Things can monopolize your time. Sometimes, you know, cell phones. You remember the day when we didn't have cell phones? I rebelled against cell phones until about the year 2000, until we started this church. And then I thought, well, people better know how to get a hold of me. And I just didn't even want one. I didn't have one. But then I realized after having one for, you know, a couple years, I remember one time I was driving down the road and I forgot my cell phone. I immediately hit the brakes and turned around and went back. I thought, what is this thing? It's trying to control me. You know, I can't go anywhere without it now. Before I didn't want one. Now I've got a phone and all this stuff. You know what? Don't be controlled by anything or anyone. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let Him control your life. Again, I'm not against cell phones. I've got one here. I've got three messages right now. Anyway, but they're going to wait. All right? If it's you, whoever's watching or whoever's calling, it's okay. Love you. Don't be body ruled. Okay? Don't be body ruled. Be ruled by the Holy Spirit. Be ruled from the inside out, not the outside in. All right? And verse 4. James switches, you know, he's talking this whole chapter, really. He's talking about the power of your words, the power of your tongue. And in Proverbs, it said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Both of them are. What we want to do is recognize it and learn to get on the life side. We want to speak the language of life. We want to speak God's language. There's a bunch of languages in the world. And if you're talking to somebody and communicating and fellowshipping with someone, it's good if you can speak their language. God speaks the language of life. Okay? The devil speaks the language of death. I don't want to meddle in his affairs. I want to meddle with God. I want to go with him. So James goes from the analogy of bringing a body in control, something with feelings and emotions, he talks about a ship. So he says this the same way. He says, look also at ships. And they're so large and driven by fierce winds that are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Have you ever looked at big ships? I mean, this is so crazy that this winter we've had, I was at the gas station the other day and somebody was there with their boat. And I thought, wow. You know, it was a big boat. And I thought, wow, they're out already. You know, and I get it. You got a boat, man. You're going to want to get out as soon as you can. Got me thinking about mowing my lawn. But you know, boats. I remember when we lived in Haiti. I used to be down in Port-au-Prince. I'd be driving by the pier, and it'd be these huge boats. It'd be boats so big they had, you know, semi-trailers were stacked in them, you know, and things. I was like, wow, this is crazy. This is so cool. Look at how big they are. And James, I don't know what kind of ships he was looking at, but he was talking about big ships. And he says that even though they're so big, they're driven by fierce winds. What's he talking about? He says those boats get out there and they face the elements. They're facing things that are seemingly out of their control. But he said, even though these boats are so big and they're out there facing fierce winds and storms, has anybody ever faced a storm? I'm talking about a spiritual, you know, storm that comes against you and you feel like you're bombarded. You feel like, my goodness, am I out of control or what? I don't know if I have any power in this situation. But James says you do have some power. He says, just like a person, he calls him a pilot. I'll call him a captain. A captain on a ship has control of that ship when he takes hold of the rudder. And he applies pressure to that rudder. You know, when you put pressure on the rudder, I know this from small boats that I've been on, you know, on a sailboat. I've been on a very small sailboat one time, and I had the job of holding the rudder. And even when you turn a boat, you turn the rudder a certain way. Have you ever noticed this? You know, maybe, you know, a boat gets turned a certain way. It doesn't just go, what it does is it applies pressure. It goes against the water, and the rudder slowly will turn that boat in the direction that the rudder is pointing, but it takes some time. And that gives me some peace to know this, that is, when it comes to my words and the direction of my life, if I speak a wrong word, it's not like I'm over. It's not like I'm done. It's not like the battle is lost because I spoke a wrong word. Okay? The reason I say that is because sometimes we can get so under this pressure of legalism that my goodness, I'm afraid to say anything. Hey, be free. But on the same note, be wise. Okay? Take what God has told us and use it. Put it to work in your life. Hallelujah. All right, in this analogy, ships are facing forces and pressures from the outside, just like we do every day, winds, forces of nature, things out of control. So in this analogy, the ship is our body. Here, James, I bet you he was really winning points that day. First, he tells people they're like a horse. Then he tells them they're like a ship. But in this analogy, the ship is like our body, and the rudder is like our tongue. The pilot is our spirit, and the strong winds that are facing that ship are like the circumstances of life. And another one, the wheel of the ship, in the ship that I'm imagining, the rudder is controlled by a wheel, and I'll call that a renewed mind. So, you know, as we get our minds renewed with the Word of God and we learn to speak from the inside out, it'll bring direction to our life, and we can navigate waters even when the storm is raging. We can set our course the way we are supposed to go in the midst of any kind of circumstance, okay? Are you with me this morning? I'm giving you information this morning that could totally change your life. Do you hear me? Totally change your life. You know, I'm thinking a lot lately about renewing my mind. One way my mind gets renewed is I take the Word of God and I speak it out loud. I tell myself the Word. I tell myself who I am. I tell myself who God is. And I'm telling you what, it makes grooves in my mind. It makes channels to go down in my mind that I can just live out my life. You know, and it's not like you can just take the Word and, well, I spoke the Word for 15 minutes today, everything's going to be good. No, you're going to still face storms. You're going to still face all the things that other people face in this world. But I'm telling you that when you do that consistently, I'm telling you what, it'll rise up in you. You know, I remember as a new Christian, I used to read, just a bunch of chapters every day. And I did that for a long time till I went to Bible school. I had a certain amount of chapters I would read every day. And sometimes I'd read things that I didn't even remember when I got done reading. Okay? Can I tell you this? You hanging with me for a minute? I'd read, you know, because I wanted to get it done. And there's an element of good in just reading and pushing through, because sometimes what I'd find is I'd be in a conversation with somebody, and something would come out of my mouth that came out of my heart I didn't even know was there. And I'd go look, and it came right out of a scripture that I'd read a week ago. Because it gets in you. It gets in you. It gets in you, and it helps you navigate life. There's power in that. James 3:5-6, it says this. He goes on, talking about your tongue. He said, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. He says this, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Ow, that sounds so bad, doesn't it? But here's the analogy I'm going to give you, is that sometimes people's lives, they feel like they're in the middle of a forest fire, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how it started. How did I get to where I'm going? But I'm telling you from what I'm reading in James is this, that little big forest fires start with small sparks. Okay, they start, you know, I've read about forest fires even in recent years that happen, you know, by something that seems like really small thing, but it started small, but it continued and it grew and it grew and it grew. And it would take some kind of an expert to come in there and go through the ashes and find, well, how did it actually start? Well, James is telling us how these fires, these raging fires in our life that we don't know how they happened, how they started. James is saying if we traced it back, it'd come back to words. It'd come back to things that we've said over and over. Things that we allowed words to come through us habitually that had effect in our life. So if we can start a big fire with the power of our tongues, I'm telling you, we can stop one and we can set our lives on the right course. Amen. Verse 7, it says, every kind of beast and every bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It almost seems like James took and let the air out of the balloon, and you're like, wow, my goodness, if no one can tame it, what can I do? Here's what I'm going to tell you can do. By the help of the Holy Ghost, you can have victory in the tongue. You can't take on things like this in your own strength and think, this is what I'm going to do. No, you need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It'll take the Holy Ghost to train our tongues. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Luke 17, I'm going to read you this Jesus story. And I think we'll probably end with it today. In Luke 17:6, the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Isn't that an amazing thing? The Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, you know, does everybody know what a mustard seed looks like? I mean, it is very, very tiny. It's very small. You know, it's probably not even a coarse pepper, okay? It's tiny. But the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say. Can you say that word? Say, say. Say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Wow, that's almost like blows my mind. There's that much power in what I say that I could have a mulberry tree. I don't even know what's a mulberry tree. I'm going to say an apple tree pulled up by the roots and planted in the field or something. You know, I don't have a sea nearby either, but it would obey me. The word say, I got this from Rick Renner. Rick Renner is a man who has a ministry in Moscow. He used to have one in Tulsa area. But then when the wall came down, the curtain came down, he immediately went to Russia and started a ministry there. And the thing about him, Rick Renner, is he is a Greek scholar, probably the best Greek scholar that I know right now. And he has this book called Sparkling Gems from the Greek. And I know Dana and I bought it like 20, whenever it first came out. And it was a devotional, but it was like every day he'd take a word from the Greek and he would unravel it and he'd bring all this meaning out. And so in his book, he pulls out this word, say. What a word to expound upon. Jesus said, if you could, you know, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could just say to this mulberry tree, be plucked up and planted in the sea and it would obey you. So this word say is the Greek word lego. Lego. Where's your mind go right now? Anyway, I'll give you this. Here's what lego means. It means a strong, stern, serious, deeply felt kind of speaking. Not just uttering thoughtless nonsense. Strong, stern, serious, deeply felt kind of speaking. Not just uttering thoughtless nonsense. You know what I'd say? This is the Paul version. I'd say it's words that come right out of the depth of your being. It's like when the storm is rolling in and you've been in the presence of God, spending time with him, and you stand up and you say, no, in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, that kind of word has power. That kind of word will pluck up a tree and plant it in the sea. That kind of word will stop a storm. So, of course, Lego, of course, in my unspiritual mind thinking, a Lego means something else. You know, all my grandkids have Legos. And sometimes I'll go over to True's house, or, well, actually, it's Stephen and Kara's house. And True has his own domain, though, up in his bedroom. And he's got, you know, big cases of Legos. And he'll make cars and towers and cities and all kinds of stuff. So when I think about this scripture that Jesus said, there's power in what you say. And I think about that word being Lego, meaning to me, it's like a building block. It's like a building block. Could you go there for a minute? Did you ever go to the Mall of America and see Legoland? Yeah, I've been there a few times. Your words have the power to build your life, to create what's on the inside of you, what God has planted on the inside of you, what he's birthed on the inside of you. Those things are going to come forth with words. Those things are going to come forth by just times of just declaring. Those things come forth by prophesying. You know what prophecy, don't go so spiritual on the word prophecy that you think you can't prophesy, because prophecy is just speaking a God message right out of your belly. Prophesy over your life. Prophesy over your kids. Prophesy over this church and over this city. I'm telling you, there's enough power to change things, to create what God intends in all these areas. Are you with me this morning? Isn't it something that God puts this power in our hands? He gives us vision. He gives us desires. And he gives us the building blocks to bring it all to pass. The Lego, your Lego. All right, we're going to pray. And thank you, Lord, for every person here. Thank you for life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're working with us. Thank you that you're helping us in this whole thing to bring our tongues into subjection to the Holy Spirit. I like what Jesus said. I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say it. Wow. Wow. Now that's something to shoot for. I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say it. Lord, bring us along. Take us by the hand. Take us on this journey. And it's by your strength and your power that we can overcome our tongues, and we can use our tongues the way you created them to be. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to that message. We hope that it was a blessing to you.
However you tuned in today, why don't you subscribe and maybe share with a friend?
Yeah, and if you're in the area, we would love to have you join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. right here in Menominee, Wisconsin. Also, we would be honored if you would consider partnering with us financially to help make this all possible. And you can do that at wearelovechurch.com.
These are great days to be alive. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless you. We love you.
See ya.